Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning in the worship and also the reading of God's Word. You know, this is truly a time of year that we pause, hopefully, in our busy lives, and we reflect on why we celebrate Christmas. I know it's easy to get caught up in all the busyness of buying gifts and making sure you get just the right gift, you know. And if you've been married as many years as I have, 43 years, as of yesterday, you will pretty much know what to buy the wife. And then the kids, well, you know, they're kids, and so they change, you know. My grandson, he wants Star Wars figures, you know, or Legos. And then, of course, they grow out of that, and then you kind of have to go with the flow, you know. You have to decide, well, okay, which shoes are most popular now? Are they Nikes, or are they Reeboks, or are they Gucci's, or whatever, you know. And so you kind of have to go with the flow of how teenagers, and then as they become adults, they kind of settle into their routine of things. And so, you know, knowing what to buy is an important thing. But it's easy, like I said, to get into the spin, into the routine of making Christmas a time where, you know, we celebrate the economy, or we celebrate what we would like to buy or like to have. And we forget that really it's Christmas is exactly the word, Christ Mass. And it has to do with Christ. So for a moment, let's just pause and reflect on that and remind ourselves why we are called Christians. Okay? I'd like for us to pause in a moment and just imagine in your mind three selfies. Okay? Since we're all into that, taking pictures of ourselves in front of everything imaginable, including some things you can't imagine. But we have three selfies, and in those selfies are very important important individuals. And in each one of those photographs, each one of those snapshots, we will always consistently find the representation of God. And sometimes in some of the photographs, we will see all three. Okay? And here they are. Let's just imagine for a moment. The first one is absolute darkness. Just absolute darkness that you can't imagine. Okay? And then we become a bit adjusted to that, and we see that there is something swirling around in the mass of the universe. And it really doesn't have any particular purpose, but it's designed, but it's there, but it doesn't seem to have any purpose. And the scriptures record for us this particular selfie. If you want to look in Genesis, the first chapter, we will see the first one, the first snapshot, if you please. It's found in Genesis 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, it's interesting because before he created the heavens and earth, the earth was formless, empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep. That's a description of what our world looked like before. Okay, but then it goes on to say, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit, and I emphasize the word Spirit, okay, of God, was hovering over the waters. Now that's sort of a continuation of the description. It was formless, it was dark, and the surface of the deep, okay, was, so there's water, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So what we get here is a picture of something that really doesn't have any, necessarily any form yet, or even really any purpose. It's just sort of a planet that's covered with water, and the Spirit comes, and the Spirit hovers. Okay, so you kind of have that picture. It's the beginning of the earth as we know it. Before the Spirit comes, it is just a dark mass, if you please. Without, well, it says very clearly, formless. It's empty. It's dark. It's covered with water. And then the Spirit comes. And the Spirit comes with purpose, with power, and it comes with the ability to change from darkness to light, from formlessness to shape and to beauty. And we have here then, of course, following this verse, in this first chapter, we have the story, the narration of the creation of the world as we know it. What I'd like to do is jump to the last day of creation, the sixth day, and most of you probably already know what was created on the sixth day. Man. Very interesting, because God's already done the creation of the animals and the, you know, the beasts of the land and the birds and the fish and all the wonderful creepy crawlers all over the earth and all those things that are beautiful. And he said it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. So now we have a planet that has form, it has purpose, it has a designer who has designed it, it has been shaped by the word of God. It says, by the word of his mouth were the heavens made. David said that, didn't he? And so it's by God's speaking into existence this beautiful world. Beautiful world. Now, there's one thing missing, though. Someone that has the ability to enjoy and to express themselves. Someone has the freedom to think. Someone who has emotion. That's not to say that animals can't show emotion. My dog does. Pretty limited, but he does. But God says, it's not finished yet. I'm not done. And so it says here in Genesis that he shaped man, humanity, man, from the dust of the earth. And he knelt down, and here's the word. He breathed. Okay? He breathed into the nostrils of man, Adam. And what happened? New life. Isn't that beautiful? He took what was just earth, just mud on the shores of the lake or the sea or the river or wherever it was. He shaped man from the dust of the earth, from the earth, and then he took that and breathed into it new life. Now John tells us that the one who breathed that new life was Jesus. Okay? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was... Okay, you go look it up. It's Jesus. And he is the one shaping with his own hands. And then he breathes with the breath of heaven. And it becomes new life. Fresh. Design. Purposeful. Creation of man in the image. In the image of the living God. Not only created in the image, but has the breath of God, the Spirit of God, inside of him. I won't get into all the other details of the rest of the creation of humanity, but he creates a woman. Okay? Now, that's our first selfie. And you can imagine, it's Adam and Eve and God's doing this, you know? Okay? The first man, the first woman, created in the image of God and breathing the breath of life. That's the first selfie. The second one is further down in the history of this earth. A lot has happened. A lot of wonderful things, but also some very sad things. And the first thing that happens that's very sad is that humanity chooses to separate themselves from the Creator God. Chooses to separate themselves. And so they have to leave that beautiful garden. And they have to go out into the world. And the world has changed also. The world is now returned to the chaotic existence that it may have had before creation. Its future is somewhat unknown. It's chaotic now. It's dying. It's becoming dark again. Slowly, slowly, the light and the life that God breathed into it is being squeezed out of it. Sin and death has now replaced that fresh, new breath that God breathed into it. But God doesn't leave humanity alone to die in this cold planet. Because he says, he promises, as they leave that beautiful garden, he promises them that someday the woman would give birth to a child, a male child. And that male child would be divine. He would be filled with the Spirit, and he would crush the head of the serpent, the deceiver, the one who had led humanity astray, away from God, into darkness. And so the next photograph that we want to look at takes us to the incarnation. First we have the creation, then we have the incarnation. If you want to, there's quite a few in the Old Testament and in the New, but there are prophecies in the Old Testament prophesying, first of all in Genesis and then all the way through the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Psalms, even Job, all through the Old Testament you will find prophecies about the coming of this child of God, this promised Messiah. And so we have, like I said, we could look at many different texts, but there is a few that I would like to just point to briefly. And it's interesting because in this passage of Scripture, and by the way, I will emphasize something too. Throughout the Old Testament, many of the prophecies about the coming Messiah will use words like, and he will set his children free. It uses words like, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. I want you to think about that. Because once again, we're back to a dark planet that needs to be freed now. Freed of death and dying. Freed of the darkness that has taken a hold of this planet. And so many of the passages that prophesy the coming of the Messiah use language that has to do with freeing God's people, freeing the planet from death and darkness and destruction, and also the presence of God's Spirit. One of the texts that that I wanted to look at. Actually, there's so many here. I'm trying to remember which one I wanted to use the best. Okay, let's go to John, the 20th chapter. Okay, and in this passage that we read this morning are many beautiful promises. In John chapter 20, verse 22. John chapter 20, verse 22. We have a beautiful picture here. And this is moving ahead of the incarnation. Jesus has come as a babe. And the interesting thing, you know, when the angel came and talked to Mary, he said something very interesting. In fact, it says that the Spirit was upon Mary. You see, there's the word Spirit again, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, and prophesied that she would give birth to the promised Messiah. And Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And remember what happens there? Elizabeth, when Mary walks up, she says that she felt the moving of her little baby in her womb. It jumped for joy. Isn't that beautiful? It knew that it was in the presence of divinity. A baby in the womb knew that Mary had the Messiah, the promised Messiah, inside of her. That's the miracle of the incarnation, is that God became a baby. That God, the Son of God, came to this earth and became a baby and was born like every other baby that has been born on this planet. And those of you that have experienced childbirth, you ladies, and the men who might have at some point witnessed it, it is one of the most spiritual experiences that I've ever experienced. Aside from realizing that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior, it was a very spiritual experience that I went through, my wife went through. I think she had to reflect on it later because the reality of it was rough. But the beauty of the idea that Mary was filled with the Son of God, but the Spirit was present also. Think about that for a minute. The Spirit was present. And then, as we move, let's look at Luke. I'm sorry, I had you in John, but I want to just take a quick look at our passage here in Luke, and then we'll go on to John too. Look at Luke 4. And this is Jesus. Now he's come, he's been born, he was born in a manger. He was filled with the Spirit. He has grown and matured. And now he is out, beginning his ministry. And it's very interesting here because in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus began by saying these things. Listen to this. He's in Nazareth, of course. And he says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus begins his ministry by quoting Scripture. But not only quoting Scripture, but he's applying that to him. He, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." He recognized his place. He recognized his purpose. And having the Spirit reaffirming that gave him the faith, the courage, and the strength to move forward in his life. Because his life wasn't going to be easy. Was not going to be easy at all. But with the Spirit dwelling in him, he could move forward and fulfill the purpose that his Father had sent him to accomplish. Now Jesus gathered around him. Now that's the second selfie. I'm sorry, I meant to point that out. You have the second one. You have the Holy Spirit and the Father, maybe a few thousand million angels. I don't know how many. They're all crowded into the nativity scene. Can you imagine them all crowded in? And here they are, you know, they're taking this picture, you know, and here's a little baby Jesus, you know. They all want to get their picture taken, you know, so they can put it up on their Facebook. You know, I was there. I was there with the shepherds and the wise men and Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. Can you imagine the angels? It must have been mind-boggling for them because they knew Jesus in heaven through who knows how many millions and billions of years. Because he was always present with the Father, co-eternal with the Father. Please remember that is the Protestant creed statement, is that Jesus was co-eternal with the Father. He was not created by the Father. He was co-eternal. In other words, he was there, always there with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The three are one. Always there. But can you imagine the angels? No wonder they were so hyper, running around all over the place, singing to shepherds in the fields and leading the wise men, and all the activity in the universe must have just gone up a couple steps. And then Jesus is born. And if you've ever seen a birth, it's like, oh my goodness. And the angels are going, what? Can you believe this? That's, wow. You know, I always wonder what Jesus would look like as a baby. Well, now they see it. Because they'd always seen him as part of the Trinity. They'd bowed down and worshiped to him. And here they are bowing to this little babe in a manger. Watching him grow up. Watching him pull together a ragtag group of disciples. Wow. Filled with the Spirit. It's a new beginning. It's a new covenant that's being established in the life of Jesus and then in his death and his resurrection. The angels all understand it. The Father understands it. The Holy Spirit understands it. But the humans didn't understand it. They didn't get a clue of what was going on until later. Jesus began to breathe new life into a dying world. And when he died there on that cross, when he said, "It is finished," and he breathed his last breath, that breath from heaven that came down to this earth and breathed the oxygen of this earth, and he breathed his very last and he said, "It is finished." He completed our salvation on the cross. There was nothing more to do than to come back and reclaim his kingdom someday. He completed your salvation, my salvation, the salvation of all who seek to follow and to be one of his children. It was completed on the cross. And then when he came forth from the grave, he made it possible for all of us to have eternal life, hope of eternal life in heaven. So the final selfie that we see is a group of ragtag disciples. Now there's really only 11. And they have just witnessed the darkest day of their life. They had witnessed the death of their master. They had witnessed the death of Jesus, the one that they believed was the Messiah. And now they were hiding away in an upper room wondering, okay, now what do we do? What do we do now? And Jesus came to them. In fact, if you want to read it, It's found in John. We were there, John 20. And we'll start with verse 19. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of what? Of the Jews. They were afraid. There was darkness. There was no hope. Their master had been crucified on a cross. There was a dark moment when the whole earth shook, when Jesus breathed his last, that breath of heaven went out of his lungs, and he was dead, and he was buried in a tomb. They saw it with their own eyes. They knew where he was buried. And now Jesus appears to them. Wow. While they're locked up, and Jesus appeared and says, and he stood among them and said, listen to this, peace be with you. I'd like to suggest that if you're in a dark spot in your life, if the world around you looks really gloomy and dark and dismal, and you don't see much light for the future, I'd like to suggest that you invite the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Almighty God. The peace of heaven can only come through Jesus Christ and the presence of His Spirit. You see here? He said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, proof that he was the crucified Lord. The disciples were overjoyed. Can you overjoyed? I don't know if that's a good enough word to describe how they must have felt. You think they might have done a little dance, maybe jump up and down and run and hug him, and what they used to call when I was a teenager, a dog pile, everybody piled on him, and they're so happy they're just, wow, I can't even in my mind imagine how they must have felt, but they are so overjoyed. And Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me. Now listen to this. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And then it says, and he breathed on them. The breath of heaven, there it is, the breath of heaven. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. No matter how dark things may seem to you at times in your life, I want you to remember these three selfies. The last selfie is Jesus and the 11. And he's taking the picture again. The Holy Spirit's there too. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. Some of you are saying, well, wait a minute. I thought that happened at Pentecost. You read the two accounts. And you tell me. When Jesus says, when he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, do you think the Holy Spirit's going to go, oh, wait, 50 more days. The upper room, 50 more days. Just wait. Jesus, you kind of got ahead of the plan. The plan was Pentecost. The call at Pentecost, from my understanding of reading the two passages and the story and trying to figure this whole thing out, the call at Pentecost was the Holy Spirit was already in their midst, in with them, but the Holy Spirit then brought them the abilities to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave them. What does it say here? Look at the text again. It said, receive the Holy Spirit. It says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they'll be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. He goes on to tell the disciples that they're to go into all the world. That they are to go into the world and preach the gospel. Wow. They couldn't have done it without the Holy Spirit. No way. They couldn't have done it without the commission that Jesus gave them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But with the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave them, they were able to go into all the world. And so then we see a multitude of 2,000 years of selfies, if you please. Men and women and children who are so filled with the Holy Spirit that they can't contain it and they have to share the good news of the risen Lord. Breath of heaven. This is not just three selfies. This is reality, folks, for us. These stories are shared in the scriptures for us to understand that it's not just a story of a baby in a manger. It's not a story of Jesus on the cross. Certainly, that's the center of the whole message. But it's also a message of men and women like you and I who were filled with the Holy Spirit and it changed their lives. Because it changed their lives, it also changed the world that they lived in. When Jesus came to this earth, He didn't just come and as a babe and die on a cross. He came and changed the course and the history of this world. And it's because of that change, it's because of that power, of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I can claim the same power, the same presence of the Holy Spirit, the same mission to go into all the world and preach the good news of the incarnation of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And not to forget the soon coming of Jesus in the clouds of heaven. Lord, we're so thankful for these three pictures of how You can work change in our lives and how You have worked on our behalf, shedding of Your blood on the cross and the resurrection, so that we can have everything the disciples had, that we can also go out into the world like Jesus said, so send I You as the Father sent Me. He sent Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit led in His life. And Lord, we can claim that same power in our lives. It changes our lives. We need to submit ourselves to that change and allow the Spirit to live in us so that we can share the good news of that little babe that was born in a manger so long ago. And He's coming back again. That's the good news. We thank You for these promises, and we praise You, and we adore You, and we worship You, and we bow down before You. In Your name we pray. Amen.